You play with fire, you're going to get burnt. Everybody says that. And it's just what we're taught. And the truth is, there's so much fire in life. And fire hurts, but it also purifies.
This is the Faith and Life podcast from the W Talk Network. Faith for your everyday life with Toby Olijimi.
Hello. Hi, Bianca. We have the wonderful Bianca Althoff. Did I say it right?
You did. You really? Did well done.
Like I just said that, like I just pretended like I haven't been practicing. That was the very first time I said it. No, I have been practicing. We have the lovely Bianca who's on this Faith and Life podcast today. And she's going to share her heart and her tips and, you know, what God's been downloaded into her spirit about how she's living out faith for her everyday life, the practical tips of the highs and the lows. She works with the wonderful Christine Kane with an amazing organization called A21. If you don't know, need to get to know. And she also does a lot of work with Propel Women, and she's just written an amazing book called Play with Fire. But we're going to all of that in a moment. Hi, Bianca. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited.
Oh, bless you. Okay, so this has been a crazy time for you. It's been a crazy...
Yes, it has been crazy, but crazy awesome at the
crazy
same time.
Good. That's exactly what, you know, we're just basically just taking down strongholds, just, you know, as you do. Bless you. As you know, this everyone on this podcast, we're all about faith and all about faith for the everyday life. And I really wanted to talk to you because, you know, from your book, you've written a book called Play with Fire. Now, already the title is controversial because our whole life we're taught to, you know, colour within the lines and be good, which I'm sure you agree with, and do yes. not play with fire. If you play with fire, you're going to get burnt.
Exactly.
So where did this title come from? Are you telling us to literally play with fire?
I'm talking about a different kind of fire. Hebrews tells us that God is an all-consuming fire. And one of the things that I just got really excited about is that so many times we are told, you know, we all know the expression, whether you're from the UK or the US or pretty much any English-speaking country will understand the idiom of play with fire, you get burned.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor for doing dangerous things. And if you do dangerous things, you're going to inevitably get hurt. But if we take a look at the scope of scripture from Genesis to Revelation, I discovered something in the middle of my life where I felt like my life was on fire. Literally, I felt like I was in the middle of an incinerator. Yeah. And God had kind of pushed and prodded me to go to scripture in the midst of this proverbial fire. And I noticed in the scope of scripture, every time fire is mentioned, the presence of God is revealed and people's lives are transformed.
Wow, so
and
good.
So the very thing that I thought was going to destroy me or harm me, this situation, I call it my quarter-life crisis. My boss or something thinks that I'm being dramatic. But one, I'm lucky now, which means I'm just naturally dramatic. But two, I really feel like I've kind of had like this open-eye experience that I read God's word and thinking, okay, I don't have to be afraid of my God.
You know, I want to ask you a bit more because you talk about, you know, that time, that quarter life crisis, which can I just say is real. I suppose it is quarter life. I just turned 30 and I was like, oh my God, I've just turned 30. I haven't done X. I haven't done Y. This isn't what I,
absolutely,
you know,
yes.
thought my life was actually going to be like,
absolutely.
Right? And I think a lot of listeners can resonate with that. What was it in your life at that time that you were kind of looking at and you thinking, not quite right? And how did you kind of think, okay, God is still in this?
Well, I wish I can say that I had that, you know, thought process just organically, but it literally was, I felt like an impetuous child, like kicking and screaming.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
You know, I'm going to throw a tantrum, like rue yeah. assault and fall on the floor, kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Because I am a woman of great faith, clearly. But I remember yeah. having just a very honest conversation and feeling like, totally suffering from the good girl syndrome, where I'm
yeah.
like, God, my family's done everything right. Why does everything feel so wrong? We've sacrificed so much in ministry, in life, in church. I have read the 1-year Bible 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
I teach at church. I'm in small group. Like, I don't cuss. You know,
yeah.
all these things, this list of making me feel like the prodigal son's older brother, where I'm like, I've been slaving away for you. Why
entitled.
Not giving me what I want, or I hate to say this, what I believe I deserve.
Yeah.
And it was in the midst of that where I heard I heard somebody, you know, rattle off that verse in Romans, all things work for good. And I remember thinking, you know, my mom, she was diagnosed with two forms of cancer. One of them was brain cancer. She was given a 30% chance of survival from that one cancer alone.
Wow.
My family was in shambles. I was in a 3-year dysfunctional relationship with a man I referred to as Satan. pray for me. And I was in my senior year of college. I was trying to apply for jobs. I couldn't find jobs anywhere. I couldn't even find internships to work for free. It literally felt kind of like I was forlorn and forgotten. I felt like I was in a desert season where God had just forgotten about me. There's way more people who have either a greater need or he loves them more. And I'm just a cog in this machine.
Yeah, definitely.
It was in the midst of that, though, that I realized that we have an opportunity. We're in the midst of the fire. The same fire that destroys is the same fire that transforms. And so our faith in the midst of our proverbial fires will either be absolved and turned to ash and be destroyed, or our faith will be refined by gold. And I just made this decision. I'm like, you know what? Come what may, hell or high water, you are mine. And I'm going to believe what you say in your word. Because either you are God of this word, of this Bible, of these letters, these black letters on white pages that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, or you're not. And that was kind of my moment of faith. I grew up in a Christian home, so I accepted Jesus. I knew Jesus. I had salvation. But I would say kind of like this understanding of commitment, not that God is mine, but that I am his. Mm. I had to surrender what I wanted for him. And I got to experience that in new, fresh ways. And so much so that, like, I've had an amazing opportunity to, you know, work with a great team at A21. And God has been really faithful to kind of open up some great doors. But at the same time, I don't know if I would be who I was had I not gone through that season. That's so I can look at that season, my quarter life crisis, and then feel like that transformed me. But, like, literally every aspect of our life refines and transforms us into the people that we are. So we can either get, as the expression says, bitter or better. I grew up in the hood. I know you said you grew up in the hood too.
Let me tell you.
Right? So, I mean, but if you rely on God for the transformation of your life and the opening up of divine doors that he does, divine doors doesn't mean that you get out the hood. Divine doors means that you get to do what he's called you to do in whatever locale he's called you to do it.
That's so good, Bianca. I mean, that's just so good. And you know what I love? I love about the fact that you talk about that moment in terms of you even got to believe it. It's either that God is true and you believe it and you take that faith into your life. And that's exactly what this podcast is about, you know, beyond the church, you know, beyond the Sunday service. You either say, look, this is where I am in my life and yet will I trust him? Or, you know, he's a liar and God said he's not man that he should lie. So it's that kind, I think everyone's got to get to that moment. That's so good. Now, you do amazing work. You do an amazing work with A21 and Christine Kane. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and, you know, ways in which our listeners can get involved in what you're doing?
Absolutely. So for those that don't know, A21 is a global anti-human trafficking organization. We have the audacious goal of abolishing the injustice of slavery in the 21st century.
Amen.
So how that's worked out is that we have 12 offices in 11 different countries.
Amazing.
And I'm assuming that most of your listeners are in the UK.
Yeah.
I'm so excited because we do have an office in the UK. It's run by my dear friend, Charlie Blythe, who I love dearly. She is a gun. She's changing the way that slavery, modern day slavery, is viewed in the nation. We have this kind of holistic approach from prevention, because we want to stop this from happening, to protection. We have shelters and aftercare places for survivors to reside, to prosecution. We want to see this stop. We want to convict traffickers, prostituting, pimping out, and making modern day slaves of men, women, and children. And lastly, we want to partner. We want to partner with churches, with colleges, with universities, with NGOs across not just the UK or the United States, but across the globe, because we know that this is a huge epidemic. It is the second fastest growing crime across the globe. It's generating $150 billion dollars of revenue every single year. Every 30 seconds, someone is sucked into the slave industry, whether that's by choice or circumstance, coercion, or born into it. And it manifests itself in multiple different forms, whether that's bonded labor or slave labor, like in the fields, or domestic servitude, even organ trafficking, or in the particular field that we kind of focus in is sex slavery, sex trafficking. And so we have a comprehensive approach, and our fearless and faithful leaders, Nick and Christine Kane, have just been like a dog with a bone.
Yeah.
They are fierce going after this. And we are only 8 years old, but the doors that God has opened through the help of churches and everyday people, from 5-year-old kids in New Zealand giving up their lunch money to 85-year-old grandmas knitting blankets in Wollongong, Australia. We run the gamut of people who say, not on my watch.
Yeah. And that's so good. That's so good. You know, and to everyone that's listening with this and just feel like, one, how did I not know about this? And two, thank God that you know now you can get involved. Like, I encourage you to get involved and to visit A21 and partner or join the walk or just get involved in any way you can.
Absolutely.
I also want to talk to you about Propel Women. So I know that this is the problem with me. I just talk and talk and talk. I will shut up eventually, I promise. But you do some work with Propel Women too. And, you know, obviously, I think you're the creative mind or one of the creative minds behind Propel Women and Women in Leadership. Now,
yes,
that's something that's so good because, you know, when people think about women in leadership, a lot of times when I've had conversations, it's the woman that, you know, is not submissive, going to have some trouble getting a man. And it's just painted in such a negative light. And I know that might sound crazy, but it still is. But you and Propel Women, you seem to be doing such a great work in showing how women and how the leader is in every woman, whether it be the mum, whether it be the person in the boardroom, whether it be in ministry, and kind of what else is to come with Propel Women, and what's your heart behind that?
You know, and I'll say a little bit of my journey, and then
that's good.
I'll kind of cast some vision for Propel. I grew up, and as a first generation American, you know, immigrant parents living in a low income area, you develop certain survival traits.
Yep.
And I didn't.
Yep.
I would never classify myself as a strong woman. I believe that maybe some of the nomenclature, the language, the verbiage that is used around leaders kind of differ. And what I wrote about recently on my blog was this: the characteristics of a strong woman. Someone had said about me that I was a strong woman, and they said it in a way that was negative.
Yeah, crazy.
And and here's the thing: I could have been offended. I could have chose to, you know, punch him in the face. But considering that I am governed by the Holy Spirit, I realized, wait a minute, I could choose to be offended, or I could choose to be complimented, because I'm developing the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I am a strong woman, and I'm going to take that as a compliment, because had you said that to a male counterpart, it probably would have been received as such. And I'm not trying to assume the role of man.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to affirm
not.
The calling that God has put on my life. He has fashioned me this way, and I am blessed to lead strong. I look at Deborah in the passages, Judges chapter 3, 4, and 5, who led as a judge and a prophet, and that's the person that I want to be. I would say that she is strong.
Definitely.
Now, with that, I feel like appropriation is a powerful thing. I feel like people can, let's take, for example, the word Christian. The word Christian is actually a derogatory term. Most of us wear that title of Christian as an honor. I get to, I claim to be a little follower of Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. And I feel like appropriation to a word is the exact same way.
Yeah.
I think that people will associate characteristics as particularly male or female. So like meek and quiet is female, and strong decisive is male.
Yeah.
However, I believe that those aren't male and female characteristics. I believe that those are Jesus characteristics, because he was strong, but he was also meek and mild.
Mm.
And he was decisive, but he was also had a sense of deference, of thinking others before he thought of himself. And that's the model that I want to follow.
Yeah.
I don't want to be labeled as, you know, having female characteristics or male characteristics, though I celebrate the division and how God has made me and fashioned me. And this isn't license for me to be rogue and domineering, and because that's not fruit of the Spirit. I want to be who Christ has made me to be, uniquely feminine, uniquely strong, uniquely decisive, uniquely opinionated,
yes,
but also with deference and thinking of others and having the gift of gentility. I would like to have the fruits of the spirits rather than being labeled particular leadership qualities.
So good. So, so good. And so, you know, where do you see Propel Women going with all of that?
So I believe that Propel's mandate and commission is simply to resource women who want to lead. So whether that's leading in the boardroom, yeah, leading in their home, leading in school, or leading at their church, we want to spur people on, to push women forward, to propel them forward in their leadership journey. Now, some people may be further along or have more leadership responsibility. Some may even be listening saying, well, I'm not a leader.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. By definition, we are called to lead people to Christ. So you're a leader. Can you lead well? So we want to just create resources and experiences and curriculum for women who just need a little oomph, need a little chutzpah, need a little, sometimes a little kick in the butt, yeah, to cross that line well. And that's where we find ourselves.
Brilliant. So, so good, Bianca. Thank you so much. I'm going to let you go soon, but I just want you to, if you could tell us one quick thing you're learning about faith right now and one quick thing you're learning about life right now. And then, of course, how we can get Play with Fire, because I know after you listen to this interview, they're going to want to get the book. So, and then I will promise you,
yay,
I'll let you go.
Okay, so one thing on faith. I have been on this journey for the last couple of years of really delving into a theological understanding of the Holy Spirit. Mm. I'm so excited for what I see God doing, not just in the United States, but dare I say, in the UK. My husband and I have a heart for Europe, and we love what God is doing in the UK. I know that statisticians and numbers people and naysayers will say that the church is in decline in the UK and in Europe, but I have such a faith for the continent. I have such a faith for the country. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to sweep across the UK once again, like it did, and sent missionaries across the globe and printed amazing papers and theological dissertations and produced pastors and thinkers and philosophers and writers. I have hope for your nation.
Amen.
And I'm so excited for what the Holy Spirit is doing there. As far as life, I want to parlay off of that. I want the Holy Spirit not to be something theoretical or theological,
that's
but practical
it.
In my daily life.
That's it.
And so I have just been seeking God. I said, God, I don't want just the natural. I want the supernatural. I want you to move and operate in my life and the life of others in ways that you have never seen before. So use me, abuse me, put me out there, coach, put me out on the field, coach. I want to play. And so I'm really excited about that. And lastly, ways to get connected. People can check out BiancaOltoff.com or on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and they can get the book. It's now available in the UK. I'm so excited. You can get it on Amazon or in your local retailer. And I would really love to see this book in people's hands. And I'm excited for what God's going to do.
So good. That's amazing. We'll definitely link the book below as well so you can get the book straight after this podcast. Thank you so much, Bianca. I mean, so much. We covered so much in that space of time. It's unbelievable. And we love your work. A lot of people who are listening, I know that they're going to love your work and what you're doing if they didn't know prior to this interview. So thank you so much for, you know, stopping on the road on your busy schedule to come and talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Love it. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
The Faith and Life podcast from the W Talk Network. Faith for your everyday life with Toby Lijimi.